Let's turn to Acts quickly. Acts chapter 28. We'll read from verse 1 to verse 3 or verse 4 together. Together, 1, 2, go. Verse 2. Let's stay on verse 3 very quickly and look at it one more time. If you can give us another version, it's fine. And when Paul, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it in the water, so there was fire before, right? As he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the water, fastened itself on his hand, and then the rest is history. He shook it into the fire, and that was it. There was viper inside fire. Viper is death. One sting. Remember what the men said later on. One sting and you are history. That deadly thing was inside what we regard as what? Fire. And the secret was simple. He increased the wood on the fire. And the fire increased. And once the fire increased, because of the heat, the viper came out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I know you understand what I'm saying. I mean, you're listening to me. You're understanding what I'm saying. But I want you to cross from here to here. Proof that you understand what I'm saying is that you will stop measuring how many hours you pray and just bury yourself in the place of prayer. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? No. Because the kind of wood we have in the fire that we call fire today, especially in the territories that we live in, Abuja, Lagos, Port Harcourt, you know, it's easier in some territories than some others. It's the reason why it looks as if you're not even a Christian. Because the territory is stronger than you. It's stronger than what you are carrying. As some of us seated here calling ourselves on fire, if you get to some territories, you will know that you are a harlot. I'm not kidding you. You get to some territories, you know that you are a thief. Walk in some places, you will know what is inside you. Because your fire is the one that we can still manage in certain territories. When you get to some places, if you don't step up the heat, you will find out what has been living all this while. Is somebody following? I'm sure what I'm saying is making sense as you're listening. Some of you found out after university that, I don't have fire. Because there was fellowship, everybody was just making noise and shouting and singing. Once you got to NYC, you realized by revelation, it's no fire. Some people finished school and once they entered mainstream church, they realized all of a sudden that there's no fire. Some people got to work. Once they started working, they realized. Now, were they on fire before? Yes or no? Yes or no? You're on fire, have you? Yes or no now? And so we all agree that fire is in levels, in degrees. And the amount of heat your fire is producing determines what can stay and what cannot stay. I'm speaking to people under the sound of my voice who have things that have resisted their fire for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. believe me, if you can give it the necessary wood without anybody laying hands, without anybody ministering to you, things will jump out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to go into one or two instances, even in my own life personally. For the sake of those who are writing, the first thing that will get the fire up is prayer. And the second thing that will get the fire up is the word of God. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. God describes his words as fire. I'm seeing that sin needs to be judged. That's why I'm speaking in this direction. There are people under the sound of my voice who are struggling, who are really, really struggling. And the Lord has come to you with a sure word that if you will step up the heat, you won't know where the addiction went to. So many WhatsApp messages on how can I stop this thing? How can I stop that thing? How can I? I've come here to encourage you. Alright, as someone who has been there, who has understood the controversy of wanting to love God, but you're finding yourself doing otherwise. I'm telling you, the answer is simple. Step up the heat. Did you hear what I said? Step up the heat. The more the heat, the more mad what you are burning will look like. Kai. When a thing is consumed, I'm not sure you can decipher exactly what burns. All you see is what? Ashes. They tell you this was a chair. You don't know if it was a chair, it was a table, or it was a Bible. Shouldn't be burning our Bibles, of course, but if it was paper, it was a textbook, all you know is that this is what? Ashes. 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 On the most terrible levels of heat. You can't say exactly what burnt here. It will burn it until you cannot recognize again what this was. That's the kind of fire God is bringing into our lives. If they tell people what you were before, they will say it's a lie. They will swear that it's not possible that this person became this person. But that's what fire does. It changes the state of what it touches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This boy standing before you. It was the fire of God that helped this life. Because every man of humanity you can imagine. That's why the Bible says Elijah was the man of like passion. When you see the results of people, you have the tendency to believe that they, are special or something. God just likes them. We have a way of just excusing things so we can keep ourselves where we are. The truth is they went through a process called fire. And once they went through that process, something else came out of the process. They looked different when they were in the raw state. And once they passed through the process of fire, the refiner's fire brought out a different product entirely. And when you look at that life, you can't imagine that this person 1 year ago is the person I'm looking at now. Hallelujah. As we began to spend time with God, fellowship with God and His Word, we started to find that many things began to burn out of our hearts. Many intentions, many motives, many things that should not be in the heart of a person who says he's hungry for God on fire began to burn out. I'm paying particular interest to those of us who have actually come before God many, many, many times and you're wondering why things are not falling off. I want to tell you why. The reason is simple. We are not intentional. We are not intentional. The Bible did not say we should hang around the fire. Until the fire touches you, you will never know that it's possible for change to take place. So to quickly illustrate that, I'll show you Luke chapter 8 from verse 44 to 46. Luke 8, 44 to 46. Are we there? Together, one, two, go. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. Pay attention. She touched what? The edge of his cloak. Did she touch him? Did she touch him? She touched what? The edge of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding what? Stopped. So the fire caused sickness to dry. Now see the next statement. And Jesus is asking an interesting question. Who touched me? Jesus asked. And they all denied it. He thought he was trying to look for who maybe slapped him or something like that. So everybody was denying it. And Peter said, the people are crowding and they are pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power, fire, virtue, charges, life has what? Gone out of me. I'm sure we don't need to go into the argument on who was lying, Jesus or Peter. Because two of them were saying the truth, yes or no? Answer me now. They were just talking about two different things. What bothers me is that many people are actually touching. And after a while, they are discouraged. Because, and they say, fast and pray. They say, I fasted, I've prayed. Say, okay, read the word of God. I was born reading this, and I've been reading it today. I still read it, 6 chapters. So they are touching. But the touch that causes power to lead Jesus into you is the one that is what? Deliberate. And you see that in the Living Bible. Give us the Living Bible. Living Bible or NLT, I think. Do we have it? If we don't, somebody please help us because of time. Alright, 1, 2, go. Thank you. But Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go from me. It means other people that were sick, that were crowding against him, did not get healed. It means every other person that was probably closer to Jesus than she was, because she couldn't get to touch him. She touched what? The hem of his garment. The crowd was too much. But Jesus was saying she touched him because healing virtue came out of him. That means it's possible that somebody sits here in this service now, listens to this sermon, and goes back home. Somebody else listens to the audio, gets healing that the person that sat down here did not get. Yes or no? In fact, I probably go around, lay hands, pour oil until you are drenched, until it's dripping all over the floor. Hallelujah. And like Elijah, maybe lie down on top of yourself and breathe several times into your mouth. And still, there is no proof that you have been in that kind of charged place that people are longing to get to. Just once. What they are saying is, if I can just, only once, just be under this ministration, I'm sure my life will change. So are you seeing what makes it deliberate? Because she did not plan when she got to the church that she would be blessed. She planned before she came to the church. Yes or no? She had already seen what is going to take place once there's a contact with Jesus. Let me ask you, do you know what's going to happen this night? Do you know what's going to happen this night? I know you're answering as a religious response. Do you know what is going to happen to you this night? Do you know it? Because the woman knew it. Was it Jesus that planned this? Did Jesus plan this? She said, if I can, I will be what? She has already planned the result before she did the touching. That's proof that it's deliberate. Is there something you want the fire to consume, or you just want fire? It's very, 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 very discouraging when people come for retreat. And they'll charge and charge and charge. And you're asking them on the third day of the retreat, what are you desiring God to do for you? He said, I want just one more fire. More fire. 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 I said, fire. There's kerosene downstairs. I can bring fire. And if it's fire you're looking for, what exactly do you want fire for? They don't know. So are you seeing why we're in a cycle, just wasting time? We're just looking for a place that feels different from other places. When you're enjoying the sermon, there's just so much life. Now, what exactly do you want this thing that you are under now to meet? We don't know. That's proof that we're not deliberate. That's why we can be carried away in the meeting. And we care about the fact that light went and light came back, and we're confirming when is light going to come back. Like, is that the reason why you came to church? You should be so hungry, so deliberate, you don't even know that the piano stopped or the piano started or that they changed and they're not doing offering. You are so hungry, all you are looking for is what you came for. And you're waiting for that moment when something is going to happen and you will know something has switched. Is somebody following? That's what makes the touch deliberate. That's what makes the touch deliberate. And as basic as what I'm saying is, a friend was telling me that he likes listening to me because I'm one of those who have consistently stayed with the basics. He doesn't understand why I don't want to be complex anymore, because I'm seeing that the basics are not known. People don't know the basics. And as long as you don't know the foundational things, you can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere. As long as you don't know the foundational things, you don't know what works, you can't go anywhere. You can sit with somebody that is doing his PhD and be under pressure to study his textbook. But if you have not done primary school, you have not done secondary school, you are going to struggle with that textbook, yes or no? If they give the textbook from 90 next year, you will never understand because some things were not laid in your foundation yet. You waste plenty of time doing something that can take little time because something is not yet known. At least I had a fair share of struggle. I don't want to go into that because of time. In my academic secondary school, just because we didn't lay proper foundation, I left from primary 5. And I was wondering why things that were strange were happening in mathematics. And I began to cry. I began to, vex for my lesson teacher. I couldn't cry in class, of course, because we were plenty. I had to hide my shame. And once they are talking, just be following, I'll be saying yes, yes, like we say in church, yes, yes. And 2024 will now give us what? That is this, that is that, that is that. Until the exam day, then you find out those who are okay and those who are not okay. Hallelujah. And that's the case for so many people. When the day of adversity comes, you find out those who are consumed and those who are not consumed. All those things that are still locking inside you for so many years, they can be consumed though. They can be consumed. Increase the heat and you will see something is going to take place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So tonight I'm going to give us time to pray. But before we pray, I wanted us to understand this foundation. Until you forget that there's somebody by your side, until you forget that you are a girl or you are a boy, until you forget that you wore a fine dress, until you forget that there is flaw that can stain your clothes, until you forget where you are and you are desperate about shifting to a new level, you will still notice that some things will still remain after the meeting. That's what I've noticed from time and time again, that the reason those things are stubborn, the reason those things escape the fire, the heat, is because we are not, our hunger is not all consuming. We are not desperate enough for an entire thing right now. We can still wait till another time. We can still do it in installments. God will still do it at the next meeting. He will still remove another chunk again. But the day you say enough is enough, tonight has to be the end of it. This night, the fire must consume this. Until your cry becomes that serious, that desperate, that resolute, you might find that you have to wait for the next meeting. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So tonight, I want you to begin to prepare your heart. Because Jesus cannot resist you. He can't. He can't resist you. He can't resist you. He can't. He can't. You are the reason he died. You are his child. You are his baby. He can't resist you. I love what Pastor Yadebo usually says. He says anytime, if he gets to heaven and they say that he's not allowed in, he says he will not argue with them at the gate. He said he's just going to say, can I find a corner? And they will give him a corner. And he says he knows the song he will sing. I feel as if I know one of the songs because he sings it every time he comes on the stage. I know his name. I know his name. His name is Wonder. Something happened in the secret place. And that birthed that song for him. Something got burnt. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? He knows the date. He knows the day. And he knows God does not forget. And so if he sings that song, Jesus, is he at the gate? He said, he's at the gate. He's not allowed him to enter out. Which of the angels? Said, no, none of us. We're trying to check. It's really a long list. We've not seen the name yet. Allow him inside. I was excited to hear that. Because that's another way of saying that you cannot miss heaven. I'll just leave it there. You will not mistakenly enter. You will know you will enter. Somebody hear what I'm saying? You won't get, my God, I mean it. Well, no, that's not how it's going to be. You will know you will enter. So if you have a problem with the fact that God has made you righteous, God loves you. If you have a problem with that, sort it out this night, because you're not likely to get an answer. This is not for, you know, for bastards, for orphans. This is for children. This meeting. So is there any child of God in the house today? And you know that God can't resist your cry. Because this night, you must give him a serious, you know, a serious cry. Unless you're not sure it will be tonight. Are we sure it's this night? Your yes sir is sounding as if you're still not sure. Are you sure it's this night? Let this thing infect your neighbor. Some of you are ready, I know. The reason I'm wasting this time is because I want everybody to be ready. Like a viral disease, let it infect your neighbor. Can you shout yes? You are sure that this night is the night the story changes. Can you shout yes? Sometimes you say it so that you can believe it. You know, right? Sometimes you say it so that you can believe, because your heart is very deceitful. As you are saying it, some of you are getting the feedback from your heart. Your heart is saying, be shouting. So you shout it until your heart believes what you are saying. So if it's possible to deceive yourself, then it's possible to convince yourself. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So can you shout, this night is that night? Can you shout yes? Oh, how beautiful it will be to wake up in the morning and everything has changed. Everything has changed. Everything has changed. How beautiful it would be to sleep tonight and is standing before you in your room. An encounter has taken place. A transportation to heaven. And it's showing you an entire life. For the next 5, 10, 15 years. I'm sure you know your walk with God will be different from Monday. Or from tomorrow, Thursday. That's the difference between the touch that is deliberate and the touch that does not get any attention. It's because the lady was sure. Are you sure tonight is that night? I will allow you to keep saying the yes. It's helping you. It's helping you. I don't need encouragement. By the grace of God, God is faithful. From meeting to meeting, I've seen that God is faithful. If people are not blessed, many times they are not hungry. Many times they are not serious. Many times, and they don't even know they are not serious. And that's the pitiful part. Because that same man of God, who I watched only once on YouTube, until today I'm testifying about the one contact on my laptop, that man of God has a PA that is with him 24/7, who he talks to every time, who handles all his itinerary, who travels with him on the plane, who sleeps on the same hotel bed sometimes, and the man has not been touched. Because it does not matter how close you are to the fire, it is different from when you are inside the fire. And it's that deliberate touch that causes things to shift. If you hang around it for 100 years, the best you can say is that you are warm. But if you will be consumed, then that fire must touch you. That fire must touch you. If it truly touches you, a man cannot hide fire in his bosom and not be burned. That's what the Bible says. If that thing truly touches you, you will share a testimony of a difference. So whether it is a change you want maritally, whether it's children, whether it's just an encounter with Jesus in your prayer life, whether it's a straight walk with God, no more falling down and standing up, whether it's just a shift as far as your life, your family, whether it's a new story you want to tell, it can be told by tomorrow morning. Everything can turn around if you will respond as if you are sure. Is somebody sure tonight? I'm going to give you about 15 to 30 minutes. Yes, 15 to 30 minutes, because I'm not the one. I'm not the one who is going to be consuming you. The Bible says, John the Baptist said, I verily baptize with water. But there's one that's coming after me who is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He's the one you came to seek here tonight. So I want you to forget your environment, forget who is beside you, and cry that cry tonight. Pray, concentrate on what you want the fire to consume. Concentrate until you are overwhelmed by the fire of God. Until something tangible shifts. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.